Good evening, everyone. This is Vanette Edge with another edition of the Gnostic Bridge. We have Magus here again tonight, and he's going to be teaching us how to make money using money magic. So one of the questions that he has posed is, how do we bridge the gap between our high praise of God and low productivity in many of our poor communities? There's a really, really interesting YouTube video called Contradictions by Joseph Camara, I believe it's pronounced as, that really goes into talking about some of the ways that we have kind of been misled and or misguided into thinking that we are investing our money into something where we're going to get a return, but never told how we actually receive the return. What's the return on our investment, and how do we go to continue to reap what we have actually sown? So I'd like to bring Magus on today so he can go in and basically give us some tips and tools and techniques on how we can actually harness our ability to make money by using money magic. Magus, are you on the line?
I'm on the line. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. You got a good one for us tonight, huh?
Well, I think it's an interesting and necessary subject, and I had a chance to discuss it and share it with the followers and the truth seekers at the House of Gnosis here in Arkansas. And so we want to share it and want to bring it to our seekers that keep up with us on the Gnostic Bridge.
Okay, well, that sounds good. So you're going to be revealing some formulas for us on how we can create unlimited wealth. And you have, I believe, four ways we can go about doing that you'd like to share with us. One way is that you're going to teach us how to use our Gnostic power to create wealth. And then another way, you're going to show us how to use focus intention. I can personally say that definitely works. I've had a couple of experiences recently where I've really put some focus intention incorporated with some extreme joy in creating something that I really wanted, like in a matter of a month or two. So another thing you're going to talk about is a formula for wealth creation, and as well as the Magical Cash Book. That is a really, really interesting book. Just by skimming through it, I haven't read it all the way, but it's really interesting. I haven't ever heard of it or seen it before, but I can't wait for you to talk about it.
Absolutely. I have my Magical Cash Book here right beside me, and I'm encouraging people to purchase Damon Brand's book, Magical Cash Book, and follow the instruction to the T of how to put it together. And I think that everybody will be happy. But there's a lot more to this than what I just said. And so we need to kind of look into it, and we're going to do that. And before we do all that, we're going to open up this segment, or we're going to open up this program with an invocation to the goddess Fortuna and make our relationship, make our presence known to that power that is a very big power that makes the difference in drawing wealth to us, not just wealth in terms of material wealth, but wealth in terms of joy, happiness, grace, mercy, love, because all those are a form of wealth. And because without them, material possessions tend to lose meaning. Wouldn't you agree?
Most definitely, most definitely. You gotta, it's a balance between all the aspects of wealth. Money is just one part of it. So I'm glad that you are that we're going to talk about that more so that, you know, it gives people a way to understand the real significance behind balancing things that we've been given. It's not just one-sided.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why we're talking about making money magic. Because when we talk about magic, we are dealing with an aspect of our spirituality, at least for those of us who have taken our spirituality to another level. We are interested in not just words and feelings. We are interested in power, the power to create wealth. And that takes us into magic, money magic. And to do that, you have to understand the spiritual nature of our world. It's not just a physical world in terms of big objects being moved from here to there. It is a quantum world, discrete objects, electrons, protons, neutrons, subatomic particles, quarks. And these aspects are very magical and very mystical. So we have to get into understanding the nature of the spiritual world. And this is where understanding magic comes in. So, and then we use that awareness to generate prosperity, to generate money. And that's very profound, I think.
Definitely is. So let's go ahead and call to Goddess Fortuna so she can help us further expand on the topic of abundance and prosperity and wealth and all those things that mean more and not just from a physical standpoint. Let's call on Goddess Fortuna.
We're going to call on Goddess Fortuna at this time. Goddess Fortuna, angel of supply, of all God's wealth from realms on high, release thy treasures from the sun and now bestow on everyone whose heart beats one with God's own light, the power to draw from heaven's height. Attune our consciousness with thee. Expand our vision now to see that opulence is meant for all who look to God and make the call. We now demand, we do command, abundant manna for every man. As below, as so as above, all mankind shall express God's love. Bona fortuna, hear my verse. Gold and silver filled our purse. By all the power of the earth and sea, by all the power of the moon and sun, as I will, so let it be. Chant the spell, and it is done. Chant the spell, and it is done. Chant the spell, and it is done. Namo Bhagavate, travel para sisi staya budaya bhagavate tariyasa om. Visudeya, asana sama, asana navasa, sparana gati gana, savala visuri avasankatuma. Sugata Verifakana Amrita Abhasankaya Ma Mantra Pada. Ahara Ahara Ayusundarani Sadaya Sadaya Gagana Visuri Yunisa Vajaya Visuri Sahasa Rasmi Samkadite Savadagata Avakani Saparamita Paraparani Savadagata Marasi Bhumi Pradishtita Savadagata Hadaya Alastita Nastita Mamudre Vajakaya Samatana Visuri Savarana Paragate Parasuri Pratinivataya Ayasuri Samaya Alastita Money, money, maha, money, they got the Buddha Kodi, Paris, Sudi, dispute the Buddha Sudi. Jaya, Jaya, Vajaya, Vajaya, Smara, Smara, Sava Buddha, Anastita, Sudi, Vaji, Vaji Gabe, Vaji Ram, Bavatu Mama, Siranam, Sava Savanam, Tataya, Paris, Sudi, Savagata, Paris, Sudi. Sava Tatagata, Sinka May, Sava Tatagata, Smavasa, Anastita. Budaya, Budaya, Vibodaya, Vibodaya, Bodaya, Budaya, Vibodaya, Vibodaya, Samata, Paris, Sudi. Savatatagata Hridaya Alastita Nastita Mamudre Sava. What was that introduction? An opening, an appeal to the Goddess Fortuna. That blessing I sent out to all those who are listening right now and those who will listen to the playback. That energy flows to you, through you, and it is for you because it is you. And so we, with that in mind, we begin the show and we have blessed everyone. And we sincerely to you recognizing your wealth potential, that you recognize that you have the power to create wealth. What is power? Power is the ability to define reality and have others respond to your definition of reality as if it were their own. So we welcome you tonight. I want to begin this program and dedicate it to a great friend of mine who has made the transition from third dimension to the astral plane, and that is Reverend James Lamb. Many of you have read the tribute that I wrote for him, and really I wrote it not just for him, but I wrote it for all of us, because many times when people transition and transform into the force, we grieve as if as if we have no hope. We grieve as if we don't really understand the spirit world, and we say things like, "I am a spirit being having a human experience," and yet when we witness people ending their human experience and transforming into the Force, we speak as if we are human beings seeking a spiritual experience. The exact opposite. So we have to change our language. We have to begin to speak to people the reality of what really is going on, that he is not past, he is not was, he is, he lives. Your father lives, your mother lives, your grandmother lives. They are not gone in the sense that they have disappeared. They are not lost as if we do not know where they are, or we can't find them, or they cannot find us. No, they live, and there is no death. There is really no time. What has happened, you know, what we are seeing, the time that we are experiencing, what was yesterday and what is today and what will be tomorrow, is an illusion for our ability to have an experience so we can document and feel the experience. It's for us. It's for us to live. It's us to love, to experience life, to experience loving, to experience learning, and ultimately to leave a legacy, to leave a legacy, to leave a witness of how we live this experience, how we experience this vanity of time, what we learned in this process. And so that's our witness. We leave that for those who are still in the third dimensional experience. And so to this end, I honor him for the witness that he left as he transitioned and transformed for those of us who are still in this domain consciously. I see him as a cultural warrior. He was a cultural warrior. He lived to be about 71, 72 years of age, and the man's life was amazing in terms of the transitions of consciousness that he experienced throughout his life. He actually embodied in his life the principle of grace and gnosis. He was a partner of mine. When I was pastoring a church here in Pine Bluff known as Grace, he was right there with me and mentoring and supporting and assisting me in many different ways. And when I left and went to Charlotte, came back to Pine Bluff as I am now, right now, to some extent, kind of in between, he was with me when I started Gnosis, the House of Gnosis. So he has been a person who I have seen allow a younger man to teach him, to inspire him, to encourage him to transition and to transform, and he did it. Many times people who are older than you and who have lived a long life, they find it very difficult to be born again, that is, to be born from above, for people to begin to take on a new understanding, because they get so attached to what they have been through. But he didn't do that. He self-actualized, he self-realized who he really was, and he was a great supporter of Grace and Gnosis, and that's what we're doing. And so we're going to miss his physical presence, but we have tools, and we know how to spiritually contact him, and how to help him as he goes through this process of realization in the astral plane, in the astral city, if you will. And so those of you who know him, those of you who are listening tonight who know him or have been touched by him, if you don't know the miracle prayer by heart, find it on YouTube. If you have the CD, play it and light a white candle for him. That way it gives him the energy and the spiritual power to go through this process as he develops and continues to be evaluated by his elders, the council that he deals with reviewing his life to determine what's the next stage of his progress. Either he will eventually come back here at some point in time and continue his soul's journey, because that's what's moving. It's the soul. The soul is journeying. And or he'll move on to a higher world. And that's the whole goal anyway, to get beyond the physical and the subconscious level of the earth. And that's our goal. Knowledge is, you know, when we're talking about wealth tonight, let's keep in mind, knowledge is wealth. To know is capital. And I will talk about that a little bit later tonight. But let's understand, knowledge is wealth. While you should always be thankful and supportive of the teachers, because they are so precious, and because they are the ones, when it all boils down and counts, when it really counts, what you know and what you do not know makes all the difference. Can you imagine what it means to be physically rich but spiritually ignorant? Think about that for a while. Think about that. As is oftentimes asked in the scripture, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Or how much do you value your soul? And this is why you find people who have awakened, and it may look strange that they would quit a lucrative practice, cash in their property, find spiritual knowledge, to find a teacher, someone that can teach them the true knowledge that brings everlasting life, immortality. Because when you understand the value of knowledge, there's no amount of money that you will not spend, that you will not give, that you will not use to know the mysteries of God, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So we give thanks for Brother Lamb. We give thanks for his dedication to his spiritual development and growth, his evolution. And we hope that those who knew him would be encouraged by his example to do the same themselves. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about making money magic. And I want to encourage all of you who are listening tonight to participate in the conversation. By all means, being a Gnostic teacher, I'm sharing with you my insights, my awareness, which is valuable, things that I have learned on the journey. I do not count myself as having arrived as it relates to money and the possession of money and wealth, but I do appreciate the wealth of what I have learned. And I have truly lived what I'm talking in terms of making an investment in the evolution of my soul, in the expansion of my intelligence about the spiritual world. And I do value what I do, and I really, one of the reasons why I'm back here in Pine Bluff, and well, a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is because I feel like I've been led here somewhat by force, but yet I accept the will of God, and I'm here. And but I want to impact the people that live here. I want to see light shine in a dark place. And I believe now I'm at a point in time in my life where I have something to say that can really make a difference in the lives of the people that live here. And this is why we've started the House of Gnosis, because we want to break the grip of ignorance that is perpetuated so deeply among minority people, people in general that have them at odds with another, the men versus women and the races divided and the minority races impoverished and struggling with an information drought, and spiritual depravity and bondage. And so that's important, and that's been a part of my experience for quite a while. So I'm here adding another called Gnosticism. And you can rest assured it is shaking things up, and that's a good thing. So I ask for your prayers for me as I do this work, because I need it. And I ask for your financial support, because I need it well, because this is not a very easy thing when you share something that is somewhat unfamiliar and scary to many people who are used to a certain way of talking. But tonight, again, we're doing Making Money Magic. And Vinette has already mentioned a documentary that you can find, from JosephCamara.com or Joseph Camara, just Google him, and you can find this video, this documentary called Contradictions. And in this video, we had a chance to watch it as a group. My good friend Obafemi, and he showed it to us last Friday, and it really challenges people. And in specific, it challenges the church and the black church in particular, and the black community, to look at what they say and what they are doing. In many of our minority communities, black communities, you have an abundance, a plethora of churches and religious institutions. At the same time, you have great poverty and crime and illness and poverty. I think I mentioned that. And poverty. And in particular, there's one community of a square mile, 1.9 square mile, obviously divided by a railroad track. Traditionally, that's the legacy of white supremacy, as it manifests itself here in where I live. In that one community of 1 point square mile, you have, I cannot tell you how many churches you have, but you have no major grocery store chain. You have no medical institution for the people who live in that 1.9 square mile. You have maybe two businesses that are owned by black people in that community. The rest of them are owned by whites and other foreigners. And you have a very low income, medium income level, great deal of poverty. Even while you have many churches and you actually have a historically black university in that area. And so Camara asked the question, how is it that we have all this high praise of God, and at the same time we have low productivity? The political, social, economic in the minority community, as compared to those in the elite community, is just overwhelming. But we need to also understand this disparity or contradiction is not just simply a minority or a black problem. It is also an American problem, to be honest with you, because many people are living and are struggling as we see a widening gap between the 1% who own 95% plus of the wealth of this country, who are called the super rich, compared to the rest. And yet, this is called by many people in the fundamentalist community, the Tea Party community, as a Christian nation. So how do we reconcile that? How do we reconcile the many prayers and praises that go forth toward God and the poverty and the crime and the, you know, like Public Enemy says, on one side of the street, a church. On the other side of the street, a liquor store. And both of them keeping us poor. Many of the people who are in these, what you call them, these prosperity ministries, and who are even following prosperity gurus, the philosophy is great. You agree with it. The ideology sounds good, but many people are not experiencing what they are saying. Their productivity and their philosophy don't correspond. So we want to look at bridge the gap. And so between what we say and what we believe philosophically and what we are experiencing productivity wise. That's a great point. And we're gonna look at this in a large way. So I want many of you who are listening to me right now, I want you to participate, because your ideas and your observations are valid, and this is way that I practice gnosis, is that we do not ask you to believe me. No, do your own research, do your own study, make up your own mind. And own it, that is, own your philosophy through experience, and know thyself. And that's the key mantra among us. Know thyself, and you will know the universe and its God. So we're asking what Cuba Gooding Jr. said, show me the money. Show me the money. Let's show it. Money matters. I know a lot of times I grew up in a religious environment where they sung songs like, I'm not putting it down, but, you know, it's just something to think about now. They said, the song would go something like, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Now, he was a child. I would watch the adults sing that, and even then I knew, now wait a minute. No, you wouldn't. You'd rather have that Cadillac. You want that money because you love it. Like the OJs say, for the love of money, you know, a woman to sell a person's body for the love of money, you know, we'd do all this kind of stuff because we want the money. Now, we don't rather have Jesus. No, you want to get your bills paid. And, you know, you'd rather have that money. Because money matters. Let's don't lie about it. Let's don't like my good friend Kaya said yesterday, come on, let's don't fake the funk about, you know, that we don't need money and we're going to be super spiritual. No, money is spiritual. Money, how we manage money says more about our spirituality than all the prayers and meditations that we do, how we manage money. If you really want to know what a person's true character or true spiritual position is, watch what he or she does when they get the money or the things that they want. See, it's easy for people, at least in my observation, to be spiritual and prayerful when they are asking the God of their understanding for something. It's easy to be prayerful and meditate then because you want God to give you something. Just like, you know, if you were a wealthy person and this woman comes on to you or this man comes on to you and you have money and everything, I mean, how do you really know that they really want you because they really love you? Or is it the things that you can do or can give or the things that you have that's really attracting them? Now, when we are poor, we can really put on, when we don't have what we want, we really can put on a good act. But what happens when you become wealthy? What happens to your marriage? What happens when you can have the things, you can go where you want to go? what do? You tend, when you have the money, you tend to be freer and do those things, say those things that you want to say, but you're afraid to say because you don't know if you're going to lose what you got or you won't be able to get what you want, you know. So that's something to think about. Money really does bring out our true character. But money matters. Many people don't know, and they, you know, they assume that the Bible is negative about money. Well, that's not true. And there's a scripture found in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. And many might not even know this kind of thing is in the Bible, but it is. It says, a feast is made for laughter. Wine makes merry. But money answers everything. And that, in our society, is very true. In other words, money will change your behavior. It'll change your character. It can, unless it have to. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't, you know. Sometimes we do need money so we can be a better person, in my opinion. The thing is, money matters because it takes money to be born. It takes money. It takes money to be well versus being sick. It takes money to be educated, to go to school. Let me just say that. It takes money to go to school. It takes money to have a good time. It takes money to have a home, to have a family, have a boyfriend, have a girlfriend. It takes money to do that. Many people are not happy today because they don't have the money that they desire. It takes money to die, or so I say, to have a funeral. It takes money. Yes. Money answers a lot of things. And truly, it takes money to spiritually grow. And that may sound strange and everything, but in our society, there's a price put on everything. And you should understand. Many people criticize churches because and temples and synagogues. I see that criticism go on among black people in black communities about the black church. But the fact is this, when you want your daughter or son married, you want to use that facility. When you want to have a political or some type of community meeting, you want to have that facility. You want to use that facility. When you need somebody to, to counsel you when your relationship is in trouble, you want to use that minister's or that counselor's time. If you want quality ministry, you have to hire quality people. If you want a church van that can take you on trips to visit schools and to go on to these trips where your women's groups or your youth groups can see some of the good things that the world has to offer, well, that van is not given to you free. You have to pay for it. It requires gas and maintenance. It costs money. When you go into that facility and you sit down on a bench or some chairs that have cushions on the seat and on the back, well, that chair in that seat or that pew costs money. That minister is given his time. He should be compensated. Nobody should work and teach you and you take in that knowledge and you not recompense that teacher for their time and their talent. That is not fair. No more than when you go to your job and you give your blood, sweat, and tears, you want to be compensated. So there's a certain type of equity and reciprocity that is involved in our society. And when we don't do that, when we go to these schools, these historically black schools, and we spend our time there 4 years or whatever, and we are encouraged and we are educated, we are informed teachers, that school is there. If you wanted to continue its work for your children and their children and their children, well, the alumni must put money back into the school so those same services can continue. And one of the big problems that we have a lot of times in a lot of communities is that we take and we eat off the tree and we throw away the seed and do not reinvest the seed back into the institution. And you wonder why that institution that was so glorious in the past is not able to continue its mission and function in the present and into the future. It's because we are very selfish, and we don't know the importance of why crime and violence and bad things happen in the community, because we don't reinvest back the very community in the very environment that fed us. And that's something that we have to think about, why poverty exists. So it's not that we do not have substance and sustenance. It's that we have an improper relationship with them. So the relationship that we have with money, we're going to talk about relationships a little bit later when I get into the magic side of it. The relationship that we have to money speaks about our spirituality, which brings me to the point of saying, what is money? Is money? What is the perspective that we carry with money? So before I transition into talk about that, let me see. Go back to you, Vinette, and see if you have anything that you want to share. Let me see if there's anybody that's online or in the chat room that wants to ask a question or make a comment on anything that I've said at this point.
No questions on my end, just absorbing, and no questions in the chat room or online. So you can keep on keeping on.
Okay. So while I'm doing this, I want to also remind everybody that this show is being sponsored by Gnosis Matters. That's GnosisMatters.com. And we truly do appreciate your financial support and, most importantly, your prayers, because spiritual teaching is valuable, and it's a premium sometimes, because many communities do not have the same type of opportunities that other communities have. And so I really reach out to many of you who are outside of Arkansas, outside of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, to help me do what I'm doing. So we have many tools that are available for people who want to relate to how to make money magic, to relate to the goddesses and some of the gods that provide these tools to help people to attract wealth. We have the Goddess Fortuna, or the Easy Wealth Luck Talisman, which is empowered by the Goddess Fortuna. We encourage you to get that one, and because that has a great history to it. We also have the healing tablets, and there are four. And when you go into the four that you can choose from, one of the special ones is the Amulet for Success in All Dealings. I think you have that one. I think you have it. And so later in the show, I'd like for you to share maybe some of your testimony about your experience of how it helped you in your life. But that's the divine healing tablet, the one that deals with success in all dealings. And even when I was doing and preparing that tablet for you, the divine healing tablet, Vinette, I felt the energy. I said, man, I need to keep this for myself. But then again, I know you get paid, you know, so I sent it on to you. But anyway, coming out this infomercial, let me go into this next part. What is money? Our perspective on money is everything. Energy flows where attention goes. And our perspective, how we see the world, is how the world responds back to us. We really do create our, we really do create our reality with the thoughts, the words, and the actions that we do. The word abracadabra just simply means I create what I speak. And many times, many of us have a imbalanced perspective on money. And let me say also, we have a imbalanced perspective on money and wealth because money is not necessarily, there's a, again, there's a Bible verse, if you don't mind me using it, I want to use it. I think it's a good stepping stone to this conversation. In Matthew chapter 6, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hold to one and resist the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Some Bibles will translate the word mammon as money. So what is money? What is mammon? Okay. There's a great book that I would truly encourage those of you who need reference materials to do this work. There is this really profound book. Let me tell you the name of it. I think everybody should, every truth seeker should have in their home. It's called The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara G. Walker. Let me say it again, just in case you didn't get it. The Woman's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara G. Walker. It's a great book. It has a great, a lot of, many definitions that gives us the etymology and also the history of words that we use that have been manipulated in such a way that we don't really get the true meaning of the word. And so the word mammon explained in this book, allow me to read it, what she says the word mammon means. Okay, the word mammon comes from the way it was understood or translated in medieval times was as a demon of commercial acquisitiveness. I had a problem saying it Sunday. Whose name meant riches. So what's important is that many of the medieval priests understood and interpret the word mammon as riches or as riches that come by means of demons. Kind of reminds me of what Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G. would say, more money, more problems. And there's a truth to that because there are certain demons that truly work to help people to become rich. And with that, they bring calamity. Okay, I'm going to explain this in a minute in a way that can make sense. Before the medieval times, in the Middle East, the original meaning of mammon was the rich outpouring of the great goddess, inexhaustible breath, memory. Think about the word mammon, memory. Now, in the book of the Bible known as Acts, chapter 19, verse 27, a goddess is mentioned, and her name is Diana, goddess Diana. So what we understand here is that what happened was this, is that the reason why mammon is looked upon negatively as a demon is because when many of the Christian or church missionaries went to these countries that were rich with gold and silver and other precious metals, well, they raided those goddess temples. And to justify it, they looked upon as the goddess as a demon. They demonized the goddess. And that's what was going on. And so when it says no one can serve two masters, what they are trying to say in the teaching of that verse, with something that I truly disagree, is that goddess worship is demonic. What the verse really is trying to tell you is that money is a goddess. Money is a spirit. Mammon is a goddess. Mammon is a spirit. She is the source, in the same way that our mothers are the source of life, of physical life, through her blood, through her milk, through the waters of the birth canal. As she and if you saw the image of Goddess Diana, she's the multiple breast goddess, which means she's a world nurturer, and she's the source, or at least the goddess image is the source of our physical riches and blessings. She's the source whence they come. When it says no one can serve two masters, what it's trying to tell us is that we are not to serve, we are not to worship the riches that comes from the goddess and God, because they are one. We're not to be greedy. We're not to make that our primary motivation. We have to have consciousness. We have to know how to relate to, have a relationship with the goddess, and relate to the goddess not just for what she can give you. That'd be no different than a man basically being with a woman for what sexual pleasure or life pleasure, or what she can give you. It's about what she can give, her riches, her gifts, but it's not about the giver. So it's telling us that we have to be conscious of how we relate to the goddess. See, many people, when they get into spirituality or magic, or they learn about ritual, and they learn about spells and what the power of learning how to work in this spiritual world, they're not really having a relationship with the deities, a relationship, a friendship, or a partnership, or an identity with it. What they're really about is what I would call emergency magic, emergency riches. That's not the best way to relate to it. It's to understand that the spirit wants to have a relationship with you. It wants to know you no more than you want somebody to use you because of what you can give them. It's a relationship. And that relationship, just throw the secret out at you right real quick, that relationship should be in three ways. Just write these down. And we can talk about it. I'll talk about it maybe some later time in the program. That relationship with the goddess and the God is in three, well, it can be more than three ways, but I like threes and sevens. It's the preacher thing in me. But a third-person relationship, a second-person relationship, and ultimately you want a first-person relationship. In other words, you want to begin with union, third-person relationship, I-them. Okay? So you study them. Second person, I-thou. The goddess or God, the spirit, becomes a sacred, beloved relationship, my beloved. Therefore, you have a communion with spirit, second person, I, thou. This is where your devotional life comes in. And you pray to them, which is a higher for yourself, and you pray to them for support, for help, for nurturance. But then there's one even higher than that. That's where religion is stuck really pretty much at the second level, the communion with God. I, thou shalt not thou shalt, this do, that kind of thing. Well, you're dealing with a second person relationship. But the ultimate level, when you really begin to embody the relationship, is an I-I relationship. And what that's about is where God, like the great mystic, I think of his name right now, but he would say, let God be God in you as you, where you and God becomes one. Or as it says in the Bible, I and my Father, we are one. When you begin to know that you are that God is not only in you, that God is not only with you, but you are that God, then you begin to approach your magic, you begin to approach your rituals, not simply in a third person, not simply in a second person relationship, but then you begin to understand that you become the sacrifice, and you are sacrificing even unto yourself. And it becomes an identity with it. There is no separation between the world and you, the God, the elements in you, the fire in you, the fire as you, the earth, the water, the spirit. Be honest with you, that's when the fifth element comes alive. And that's when the magic begins to happen. But let me move on. Time is not only spirit, but money is not only spirit, money is time. And so a lot of our perspective on money magic has to deal with not only identifying with spirit, but it also deals with identifying with time, time management. And this comes down to when you begin to honor money as a spirit, third person, second person, first person, where you begin to understand that money is time, and how you use your time versus wasting your time or procrastinating with your time has everything to do with the level of seriousness that the spirit recognizes that you are putting into your desire and what you want. Because how can you convince somebody that you're really serious about manifesting money, about being able to take meet your needs when, you know, you sleep half the day, when you don't really put no time on task, when our priorities are out of order? And this is why in that same chapter in the book of Matthew, which is so profound, I don't care whether you're a believer, it doesn't really matter whether you're a believer in that particular God or not. The fact is that it's a relationship with you. It's your inner relationship. When it says, seek first the kingdom of God, seek first your spiritual evolution, seek first knowledge and wisdom, and the things, and that goddess will respect you. And all these things, all these things shall be added to you. So time management becomes a critical part in making money magic, time management, because that's when even your own higher self knows that your lower self, which is your ego, is truly serious about this idea of money magic. Okay. All right. So let's get into it. Okay? Let's get into it. Money is not wealth. Money, you can have a lot of money, a lot of things, a lot of cash. But cash does not make an economic system. Wealth is a relationship. Wealth is a positive relationship. Positive relationship with things. As a matter of fact, it's a proper relationship, a healthy relationship. A healthy relationship. There's a difference. And this is where I really want to get into this whole idea of what we can do, what we can do using magic to make money, what we can do using magic to make money. So I'm going to pause here again before we go into this. This is the next major subject here, and I want to see if there are any hands raised in that. If you have any questions, anybody here wanting to ask a question or make a comment?
No, I'm good still, just listening, really interested to see where you're going to go at with this. And no hands raised or questions. So let's keep
on
going.
Let's keep on going then. If we're in this society that we're living in, if we're going to deal with the people who truly do manipulate our currency, that's one thing we have to realize, is that what can you really do? That's why you got to have this understanding of magic, of what we can do to create wealth in our lives, more than just money, but create wealth in our lives. And by that I mean the ability to manifest the things that we need in order that we can be happy, that we can take care of our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. So that's really what wealth is about, having the consciousness and having the sustenance that we need to take care of those things that are important to us. And so, and the relationships to take care of those things that we really want and need. Can we do? What can we do? In a world where the currency is being debased, where 97% of our currency is electronic and only 3% is physical, where the cost of goods and services, does not all the time match the amount of money that's in circulation. So everybody is trying to draw out of the money supply. And many times that money supply is being constricted. And then sometimes whereby we are constricted, whereby it's very difficult to get loans or credit. And then the society has interest to credit that we receive. And so the ability to pay back, the truth of the matter is, it's impossible for us to pay back the national debt, and really difficult for anybody to pay back their personal debt because of compounding interest being added to it. So we find ourselves in this game of musical chairs, and eventually at some point in time, the music stops, pull out a chair, not a chair, and not enough people able to sit down in a chair. Somebody loses. And so this is where the whole concept of economics come in. And allow me at least to share the concept of economics that I have been given, and it's going to relate to this particular subject that we're dealing with, making money magic, very, very relevant. Okay. As you know, economics, the word economics is a compound Greek word, economics. Echo means house, and nomics, comes from the Greek word nomos, meaning law. So it's the law of the house. And so we're living under the law of the House of America, or the people who issue what they call the Federal Reserve Notes, the FRN, and those who give America its credit in order to release its money, we live in their house, under their house. And like we said earlier, over 95%, maybe 99% of the people who we call super rich control of those people who are super rich control 99% of this country's money. So what does that mean for the 1%, the rest of us? How do we survive? How do we make it in everything? Well, this is where we have to understand the difference between economics and alchemy. Get that. This is very important. Economics is based on the premise, namely, that a society's wealth is determined by its supply of physical resources. In other words, its land, its labor, minerals, water, and so on. And underlying this premise is an even more profound assumption that one's, namely that the entire world contains a limited amount of these physical resources. In other words, as they say, no new land is being created. And the idea of that, this is a zero-sum game. If there are 10 pieces of pie, if I have 9, you can only have 1. My having 9 pieces of slice of that one pie means that my gain is your loss. So economics is really comes down to this world is based upon a limited supply of things. In other words, say again, those 1% who have 99% of the world's of our country's wealth means that is we have lost, that we live in loss because they have more than we have. Therefore, because they have more and they have taken what they have from us, we have less, which means that society is based upon that perspective. Society is based upon that understanding. Can only develop criminals, can only develop thieves, can only develop anger, hostility, illness, because the 1% has more than their share and is taken from us. So one man's gain is a whole nation's loss. And this is one of the reasons why many times when we work from that premise, we don't have the ability to be able to keep up and to get over. And we become very hostile, we complain, and we have to work hard, we have to work longer to pull out of the money supply as much money as we can to survive. And so I do agree with Jacques Fresco in the Zeitgeist series that what we're looking at in crime and, you know, certain behaviors is not that people are criminally motivated for the drugs, not that people are born that way, as the church would like to label people as born sinners. No, to understand, without awareness and understanding of the real nature of the world, they are being socialized into addiction, socialized into health problems, socialized into criminality. So the problem is, do we live in a world of limited, is it really true that if I have what I have taken from what you need? One man's gain is another man's loss. Is that true? Is there such thing as limited resources, limited power, whereby it requires that we have to have such high gas, light, water bills, that we're losing energy? Is that true? Well, in the 10th century or more, or 15th century, there were a group, and there's always been, maybe even before then, not just 10th century, back in the B.C., there were these Gnostics who were known as alchemists, and they had the idea that they could take base metals like lead and turn it into gold. Now, many people took that very literally, I guess in some ways they did. I've heard today that there's a mystic, by the name of Sai Baba, who could manifest gold out of thin air. Okay? So these are people who operate off of higher knowledge, Pythagoras and some of the other Kemetic spiritual scientists. They knew a knowledge. They had a knowledge whereby they could create something out of nothing or out of no thingness. This is alchemy. This is the science of alchemy. But what it really was about was change and transformation. They did not believe in scarcity. Because think about it. If a person could take lead and make gold, what becomes of the price of gold? It loses value. What they understood was that the value is thought. The important value you have is thought. Let me put it in a real sense. Millionaire, the guy who's a millionaire off of Facebook, I can't think of his name right now. Do you remember his name, Vinette? This guy, come on.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg, will you agree that Zuckerberg is a millionaire? A billionaire?
Billionaire, yeah.
Right. Did he make his billionaire the way John Rockefeller made his billionaire? Whereby he became a billionaire? No, he didn't. You see, we don't live in a zero-sum world. We live in an alchemical world where change, transformation, is the name of the game. And those who have knowledge can transform anything into something, which tells us that the person who is able to change, the person who is able to expand their intelligence, the person who begins to know how to operate with the spiritual world combined with the material world, the person who knows how to relate to the elements, the elementals, as conscious beings, and I'm talking about the earth, air, fire, water, spirit. I'm talking about body, emotions, mental, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual, the person who knows how to work with the element through their spirit, with intelligence, who know, like it says, man, know thyself, and you will know the universe and its gods, the unseen forces. That's the person, always be relevant, and is never out of season. We're talking about the alchemical world is the quantum world. And this is what many of the African ancestors were. They called them animists, but they knew that creation was alive and that if you had a relationship with earth, air, fire, water, it would unfold and release its secrets to you. Because they understood what now we know as in the quantum world, beneath the atom is the quantum world of electrons, and those electrons observe your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. They listen, they eavesdrop on what we are feeling. Therefore, how we speak and how we think moves and changes matter. This is what the, if you look it up, this is what the double slit experiment that was discovered back in the 1920s by Heisenberg and these other quantum physicists, David Bohm and others, knew not only happened on the micro level, but they also knew it worked at the macro level. There's a DVD that I would encourage everybody to get called Quantum Communications. Quantum Communications. And you will understand that many of the early scientists knew that the so-called animist, and the reason why they could see They could go into a wilderness, pitch black wilderness, and they could locate certain herbs and branches and leaves that could do certain, you know, that had certain properties, that could do certain things that they did not know. Is because when they asked these shamans, how did you know that this particular herb or this particular tree or branch or vine did this? The shaman would say, because the plant told me. They understood the plant world was a conscious world, and they knew how to talk to and listen to these energies, these elementals that were in the plant. I could go really deep on this, but I'm gonna stop it right here in terms of that far I'm going, because I want to give you the definition of wealth that can that is the foundation for money magic. And that definition is this: wealth equals physical resources times technology to the nth degree. Wealth is possessing a physical resource times technology to the nth degree. Let me put it to you another way. To the man who owned, like Jed Clampett, a backyard full of this murky black stuff that we today call oil, Jed Clampett didn't know he was wealthy. To him, that was just some sticky stuff, some, you know, black stuff in his backyard, no value. And you know why it had no value to him? Because he didn't have the know-how or the knowledge or the gnosis or the technology to know what to do with it. To the man who owned what is today known as Silicon Valley, when he first received, whoever first owned it, did not see any value in that sand. It was just dirt. It was just something that was just out there. Nature put it there. Because that person did not have the technology, did not have the know-how to transform sand into microchips. To the man who built his home on a sea or onto a great lake, the fish that was out in the center, way out there, there was nothing he could do with them because he did not have the technology to know how to reach that. But one day, somebody had a thought and said, let's build a boat, or let's build a very sturdy fishing reel and rod. Let's cast it from the boat. Let's build a bigger boat because the waves can come and turn this boat over. You see, the point is this. Nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And where do ideas come from? That's right. You know it. It comes from the mother of invention. And this is why it's important in talking how to make money magic. This is why it's important that we have to go back and connect in a deep spiritual way with the forces of nature as conscious beings, not as inanimate beings. This is why your altar and knowing your spiritual parents, or at least knowing your spiritual guides and communicating with them, because they will reveal the secrets of nature. This is why doing your sun meditations with awareness. Where did Albert Einstein get the formula E equals MC squared? Where did this knowledge come from? It came from the spiritual world. Today, Sophia Stewart is having to be repaid because, if I understand, the Wachowski brothers took her creation, her thought, known as the Matrix and the Terminator, and they used it to make millions of dollars. But it came from her relationship with the spirit world, where she was able to get a communication and then put it on paper and made it real in terms of in the film industry. Same thing goes with every creation. where did the guy who now is getting paid because of this black guy who I can't think of his name, but he created the Super Soaker gun that everybody loves to play with, the water gun. And he now is getting millions and millions of dollars because he had that idea and he brought it into reality. Where did the guy who made sticky notes, where did that idea come from? One of the good books that Dr. Gibson has written is Nine Keys to Happiness, I think that's what it is, to a successful life or to happiness. And he talks about that every day you get at least one genius thought. How many of you have tapped into the genius thought? Well, the question is, well, how do I recognize I have a genius thought? This is where meditation and your solo meditation, this is where getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to bed early, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and doing your meditations. Because many times that's when the spirits begin to talk to you. And if you get quiet, you can hear that million-dollar thought, idea come to you. Write it down when you first get it. Because that could be the very communication that turns you from a $100 air to a $1,000 air to a $1 million air to a millionaire to a billionaire. This is where it comes from. Like I said, where did Zuckerman get the idea of Facebook? You have that idea yourself. That's making money magic. When you communicate with the gods and the goddesses and you open your heart and your mind, it begins with a thought. The formula for wealth is W equals PR, physical resources, times T, technology. And what's that about? True wealth is a relationship. It's not a single team sport. It's not an individual sport. It's a team sport. In other words, when we as people, men and women, people in the community, people around the world, when people are inspired with knowledge and they come together and they put together think tanks and they get to talk, when scientists talk together, when people of the same mind and spirit talk together, we create wealth. That's the story of Motown. Barry Gordy, the Harlan Brothers, the writers, Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson, in that Hicksville house in Detroit, Michigan. Out of that one house, do you realize, I used to work for a radio station, do you realize that every day or every hour, somewhere on this planet, a Motown song is being played? And it comes out of that little house in Detroit, Michigan. That's the power of what we call synergy. That's the power that 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. That's economics, folks. 1 + 3 or more, that's alchemy. So when we get over our not trusting each other, when we get over our not talking to each other, we can make bank. When we get over our ego, when we spiritually grow, this is when we begin to do magic. This is when we begin to do wonderful things, magnificent things. In the Bible, Jesus asked his disciples, what are we going to pay the money for the tax? They didn't know. We always ask that question. How are we going to pay our money? What are we going to pay? Where are we going to get the money from? That's a great question. How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to do this? Here's the magic. He said, go out there, catch a fish, open his mouth, and there'll be gold in there. Now, that's a story. That's a parable of us when we tap into our own inner Jesus, if you will. Because I truly believe that Jesus is you. He is a parable about our higher self that's in every man, boy, woman, and girl. when we spiritually grow and we begin to tap into Christ consciousness, we then tap into a relationship in the spirit world and with each and every one of us spirit, and we communicate and we produce magic. That is the critical point of why our poverty lingers, is because for the most part we don't relate to the spirit. We have not activated the fifth element, which is the spirit, our heart. Because out of the heart flows the issues of life. It's where the imagination is the God in you. And only a God can take nothing and make something. My point to you is that we have to become a God. Now, how do you become a God? But go back to the Bible. It tells you another story. In the very beginning, the serpent, the sun people, the Nagas, the serpent people, say it from the very beginning, you're not going to die if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did he say? You're not going to die if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And what happened? They ate of the forbidden fruit. It says their eyes became open, and they knew that they were naked. They became aware. They had a self-awareness. It created a problem of being exposed. And necessity is the mother of invention. And what did they create? They created they created clothing. Out of what? Plants. In other words, they were economists, they were environmentalists. And they made their clothing out of plants. I'm going to shut this down for right now. But I want to end with this particular story. I learned it from Deepak Chopra. He said a student came to approach his master. And he said, "Master, how can I become wealthy?" The master said there were two goddesses. The first goddess was the goddess Saravasti, the goddess of knowledge and wisdom. The other goddess was the goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth and fortune. He said, pay more attention to Saravasti, the goddess of knowledge and wisdom, and you will make Lakshmi jealous, the goddess of fortune, and she will follow you. What he was saying is this: no, you don't serve money. You don't serve money. You don't go after money. Money is not supposed, you're not supposed to chase money. Money chases you. You're the God. Become the God. Bite the apple. Bite the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Master your own self. And become wise, become knowledgeable, and money will follow you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Gnosis is the principal thing. Knowledge is the principal. Knowledge is wealth. And the more knowledge and the more Gnostic you become, the more creative you become, and there is no environment, there is no circumstance that you cannot rise above and overcome, because you have the power to transform a difficult situation that's heavy like lead into gold, and you'll always have. That's the key of making money magic. Now, I've asked everybody to purchase this book called The Magical Cash Book by Damon Brand. There's a particular sigil that and a process. The sigil is called Nitika. Nitika is a genie of the sixth hour. It's a money genie. And I'm asking you to get that book. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it for as little as $4.99 on Amazon. And follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. If you're having problems downloading the sigil, Nitika, it's a sigil, you have the name, the ticker, and then you have the sigil, and you put it on the cash book, on the notebook. He'll show you how to make your notebook, follow the instructions, and then be very consistent with following the instructions. My own personal experience and from other people's experience, it really works. It really works. The book is called Magical Cash Book. Magical Cash Book. I also would encourage you, for those of you who do not have the Easy Wealth Luck Talisman, get that. Go to GnosisMatters.com. That's GnosisMatters.com. Work with the Easy Wealth Luck Talisman, and you will find you will be very surprised. I have another talisman, a money talisman, called the Money Magnet, and it's a little bit more powerful. It's not on the website, but if you are interested in possessing that particular talisman, contact me, inbox me, and I can help you get it. I held it back because it has more than just money magnet problem. It has the ability to increase your mojo, your attractiveness, because that's one of the reasons why they attach sex to sales. So I didn't want anybody to be I was a little concerned about whether people can actually handle that. I know how some people are. But if you're interested, I do have it on for sale now. And if you want it, inbox me, and then we can conversate, and I can show you how to get it. That's it, Vinette?
Yes.
Is there any questions or comments anybody want to have? We got a little time. We can talk about it.
No, I don't have any questions. But I am going to go ahead and recap some of the books that you spoke of. The first one that you talked about was the Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets by Barbara G. Walker. And then there's another DVD that you spoke of called Quantum Communications.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the Money Cash Book. What was his name again?
A Magical Cash Book.
Magical Cash Book. What was his name again?
Damon, D-A-M-O-N, Brand, B-R-A-N-D.
Brand. Okay, by Damon Brand. And just so you guys know, once again, you can check Magus out and all of his products and services, including the talismans that he spoke of, at www.gnosismatters.com. That's G-N-O-S-I-S, Matters, M-A-T-T-E-R-S.com. And Magus is also available for speaking engagements. If you can get together at least a group of 10 or more, I think you can go as low as 5 people, right? Did you talk to the people a little bit about that?
If you have a facility that you want me to come to, or you want to do it over the phone, it's called one-on-one with Magus. We have a individual package and we have a group package. The group package allows that you have at least 5 people. At least 5 people or more, and the more you get, the more you can spread the cost for the service. You determine what particular subject you want to do. I want people also know that I have students that I teach the Kenwafu. I have students that I teach advanced form of money magic, and you can have me for that. I'll let them announce that when we get to it.
Okay.
Words of power.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. It looks like we do have one caller before we go off the air. I want to make sure I get their question in. This caller is from 985-381. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. My name is Patrice. I have a question. So for people who, that's leaving church, or you have, church members in the house, and they say, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. That's witchcraft, or God's going to punish you, or all of this kind of stuff, right? So What do you say to that? And I have another question about the 4 a.m. meditation because I'm new to all of this stuff. How do you know you're not talking to yourself? I know
well,
that sounds
okay, let me start with the first question real quick. How do you answer a person? It's going to be really hard because no matter what I tell you to say to them, they're still going to reject it. They just have to be, you have to know that you know that you know that your heart is good. And you have to know definition of words, like they said, witchcraft. Well, what is a witch? You know, what is witch? Where did the word come from? Ask them to define it for you. My definition, as well I've understood it, a witch is a female scientist, an ancient female scientist. She was a wise woman. She was a spiritual scientist. That was a woman. Just like a wizard is a spiritual science, that's a man. These are just words. And don't allow people to people's ignorance of words to confound you. To the second question, I would say, make sure I got it right. It was about the second question was about. Say it again. I kind of went blank on that.
How do you know about meditation?
Oh, that you're not talking to yourself. Well, the truth is that you are talking to, yourself. You are talking to your higher self. You are not you are not just a simple individual. You are a multidimensional being. You are a company. The oneness of you is the ability to unify yourself. That's the whole point of enlightenment. So to understand that there's a higher part. There are many levels of you. So to a large extent, when you are talking, you are talking to yourself, but you're talking to a higher version of yourself. You have to put that together and begin to become one. You must become one. One with yourself, one with other souls of your soul family, one with your soul group. That's the best way I can explain it. You are in your own body right now. You're composed of 300 million cells. You are composed of 300 million cells. But when you talk, we only see you, the individual. Mm-hmm. But you actually are a multicellular being. But even more, you are a multidimensional being on many levels of dimension. That's a little esoteric, but that's my answer.
Okay, all right. And the last sigil that you mentioned, the one you say inbox you on, what's that one called again?
Money magnet.
Okay.
Money magnet.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any more questions, Patrice?
No, that's all. If I do, I'll just inbox him.
Yeah, feel free. We got some time here if you have any more. If no one else has any questions, we're going to have Magus, if you could just recap again so that everybody knows about the talisman again, the talismans that you spoke about. Just a quick recap over them so we can make sure that it's recorded again.
Okay.
I know you talked about the Easy Wealth and Luck talisman, but the money magnet ones, you could go in on that one a little bit more.
Okay, well, the money magnet talisman is it's a talisman that I have discovered carries a little more energy and power and response time in terms of burning it, activating it, and seeing it work. It works that way for me. And so it's called the money magnet. I was going to originally call it get your mojo back talisman, but I decided to go with the money magnet. Because there's a connection between what it does in terms of making you more appealing, more attractive, and I have talismans that increases sales in business, and I use that for one of the money magnet as a way of helping people to be appealing, for sales and for drawing people to you. Drawing clients to you, And then we have one that's connected to that increases the sale of your goods and services. And so so we have a whole business package that we put together for that. Let me also say that I want to also understand that in the Divine Healing Tablet, we have a particular tablet that's an amulet for success in all dealings. And you have that one. If you don't mind, share your experience about it, Vinette, if you have anything you want to share.
Well, I feel like I was definitely, the way it was made very magically for me to receive that. I don't know if you remember, I don't even remember all the details of the story. I just remember calling you on 100. It's like, hey, and just going to town talking about how all the synchronicities lined up. And it just so happens that I, you know, sent out a request at my altar in regards to this talisman because I felt really drawn to it. And then the next thing I know, I was provided with the money, like multiplied amount of money to receive that talisman and, you know, do some other things that I wanted to do with it. So since I've had it and placed it on my altar or carry on my person, serious doors have been opening without me even really having to do much work. I mean, you know, you have to be consistent with your practices, but things have happened in ways that's kind of like, just how did that happen? I know how it's happening, but I'm still getting used to and balancing out the, this is supposed to happen. I'm just tapping into my own inner alchemy. And one thing specifically that happened, was I basically am about to increase. I like to learn. I'm a learner. I like to learn. And so I was in school and had to send a particular form. I had to take some courses, and then I had to send the forms to the state so that I could take a state test. Well, somehow or another, my form got over to the State Department without me sending it over, and so I never had to transfer any information. I was just already in the system. So those are just, that's one of the things that's happened. It's increased my manifestation power, like to the 10th, 20th, 30th degree, along with the East Health and Luck Talisman. Like that's a, you put those two together, you straight winning.
Right. Right. And let me add something else, too, that I see in this. The importance of testifying of your benefits and the results that you get from interacting with these wealth gods and goddesses. You know, Nitika is a wealth spirit. Fortuna, Diana, Lakshmi. It's important that you begin to share and talk about your positive experiences that you have in doing your magic, because the more you talk about it, the more you put that energy in the atmosphere, and the law of attraction in the universe, and the law of attraction takes over, because what you put out comes back to you. What you put out comes back to you. What you put out, whatsoever you sow, you reap. And you sow with speaking, as well as with feeling, as well as with doing. These are all means of sowing. Sometimes we're just a little bit too quiet about the blessings and the response and the karma that we, I mean, the positive karma that we experience. We act like we are ashamed to say to others that I do magic. You have to be bold with this thing. You have to say, if they want to call you a witch, well, say, yeah, I am a witch. And you better be careful. Step back. Or you better, you know, you better understand that I speak with the universe, and I speak with the gods. I speak with the angels. You know, I have a relationship with the elementals. We have to stop being afraid. When you get over the fear of being laughed at and ridiculed, your power will grow exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I live among a heavy verse of spiritual, well, not spiritual people, but religious people, Baptist people, Black Baptist people, who today have been conditioned and their mind has been colonialized by this false Jesus figure that has been preached into their brain and about demons and Satan and all that kind of stuff. And I speak boldly about what I do. And let me tell you, that's, you know, the work that I'm doing, yeah, it's not, the material manifestation is coming. But right now, we're breaking up hard ground. We're breaking up hearts and minds to begin to take in a new thought, a higher thought. But the evidence for me will be when I see communities change, children grow and become bold, find their voice, find their own voice, not my voice, but find their own voice by taking that Gnostic journey of learning. And with that in mind, you'll see a transfer of wealth, a creation of wealth. You'll see a transformation of a community. I truly believe that. So I'm speaking that. As it says in the Bible again, and my word shall not return empty or void. It shall accomplish whatever I say, wherever I send it. It shall do its work. It shall prosper. And that's where I'm speaking now. And I put myself out there in the risk for people to call names and to chastise people, but I'm telling them, don't be afraid, and by all means, do not be ashamed of this good news that you are learning. For it represents the power of the gods, from faith to gnosis, from belief to knowledge. You just don't believe it, now you know it because you had an experience. And then we have to become bold with it. And when you do, those forces will magnify themselves in you, through you, as you.
Boom. All right. Okay, Megas. I need to get a fan to cool you off a little bit. But if you could just kind of take us out with the Anna Bokoa, or whatever you choose to, whatever you're feeling like, take us out. Maybe send another shout out to Goddess Fortuna for allowing just to let this luck and wealth and all the goodies that she provides to us to be further flowed into us as we go out tonight. Go ahead, Megas.
Okay, Goddess Fortuna. Let's talk to Goddess Fortuna. We're going to ask her to magnify herself in me through Gnosis Matters, to you, Vinette, for being a part of this, and to all our listeners. I'm asking and sending Goddess Fortuna energy out to all of you in your business, in your home, in your life. Goddess Fortuna, angel supply of all God's wealth from realms on high, release thy treasures from the sun and now bestow on everyone who hearts beat one with God's own light the power to draw from heaven's height. Attune our consciousness with thee. Expand our vision now to see that opulence is meant for all who look to God and make the call. We now command, we do demand abundant manner for every man, that as below, so is above, all mankind should express God's love. Bona Fortuna, hear my verse. Gold and silver fill our purse. By all the power of the earth and sea, by all the power of the moon and sun, as I will, so let it be. Chant the spell, and it is done. Chant the spell, and it is done. Chant the spell, and it is done. Abracadabra. I create what I speak. Abracadabra to all of you. Namaste.
Namaste to all of you. Be blessed and catch us next week for another Gnostic Bridge. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.